A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
Saturday the 25th of July, and we are looking at the topic of real discipleship as taught us by part two of Joshua, a part that began in chapter 13. We've seen that the book of Joshua has moved from the seizing of the land, the dispossession of the peoples of the land, now to the settling in the land, to from dispossession to dwelling. And we're looking at how real discipleship plays out and the environment in particular in which it works. We saw from verse 13 of chapter 8 that the environment of the church is a mixed one. The church is always going to be mixed. And discipleship in that situation is always going to be a challenge. Those who criticize faithful Reuben-like discipleship the most are likely to be from the church, and particularly church authorities. And so it's hard to be a real and faithful discipleship. It's certainly not a route to popularity and acceptance. But we've seen that what sandwiched between the tribes of the inheritances of Levi, we have seen the inheritance of Reuben and the inheritance of Gad. Levi, of course, is important. It's pictured as transcending all the tribal territorial inheritances because it is a spiritual inheritance. And that is the inheritance of God's people, who are a royal priesthood. Our inheritance is the Lord God himself. Isn't that wonderful? Through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in these territorial inheritances, we are, I think, being presented with pictures of discipleship. So we saw that the Reuben territory pictured what was clear and courageous and uncompromising, an ideal picture, really, of discipleship that opposed the corruption of the world and said no to false teaching, rejected it altogether. And then we turned yesterday to the territory of Gad, which pictured something that was very clear on boundaries, but they seemed to be empty boundaries. There was very little within those boundaries and no reports of action of any kind. And we saw that was a picture perhaps of what is formal and dead, what is committed to tradition and to church order and to ecclesiastical authority, but has little or no interest or even understanding of the gospel, where there is no outreach. There is so much discipleship like that in our world today, isn't there? But now I'm afraid it does get worse as we look at the third tribe, the half-tribe of Manasseh. As I said before, Manasseh was one of the two sons of Joseph. So Manasseh and Ephraim, those two sons of Joseph, became half-tribes. And the half-tribe of Manasseh subdivided again. In half of it was on the east of the Jordan and the other half on the west. So let's see what we find out about the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 29. And Moses gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. It was allotted to the half-tribe of the people of Manasseh according to their clans. Their region extended from Mahanaim through all Bashan, the whole kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jer, which are in Bashan, 60 cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. These were allotted to the people of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for the half of the people of Machir, according to their clans. Now the Manasseh territory is the biggest one of all of the Transjordan territories. So if you could imagine the western boundary of it being the southern end of the Sea of Galilee, but then going quite a long way northwards, and then looping out in a kind of lozenge shape down to the southeast from there. It's about the size of Gad and Reuben put together. It is a large territory, perhaps telling us that this example is the most common example that we're likely to find. Now you'll notice that there is a difference between the way this territory is presented from the way the other two territories are presented. the territory of Reuben and Gad were presented with a formula, and Moses gave an inheritance to the half to the tribe of the people of Reuben, and Moses gave inheritance to the tribe of Gad. That we find in the half-tribe Manasseh. But then we find, instead of "so their territory was," and in verse 25 with Gad, "their territory was," we find "their region extended." So suddenly we have got unclarity, we've got vagueness. And in the case of Reuben and Gad, the description of their territorial integrities ended with, "this was the inheritance of the people of," either Reuben or Gad, "according to their clans with their cities and villages." We don't have that ending with the half tribe of Manasseh inheritance. So it is clearly set apart from the other two inheritances. It is significantly different. It is a picture of further degeneration in discipleship, I think. There are very few fixed points. The borders are completely undefined. The whole thing is nebulous. It's a picture of compromise of both tribal and territorial integrity. The word "half" is used actually four times in that little description. The half tribe of Manasseh in verse 29, repeated, the half tribe of the people, and then we get in verse 31, half Gilead, and then a repeat in verse 31 of half of the people. This "half," I think, is meant by the writer to picture an unresolved incompleteness. Here we see a vast lack of clarity. Here we see compromised integrity. Here we find muddled incoherence. Maybe the word "half" could also be applied to the word "baked" to describe this kind of discipleship. The cities, the one mention of the cities is unspecified, where it just says 60 cities and then the cities of the kingdom of Og. We're not told the names of those cities or any details. So here we have a picture of what is compromised. And actually, if we would go back to verse 13, where we first learned that there were tribes that weren't driven out, the Geshurites and the Maacathites, actually they are in the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh. So there is the half-tribe of Manasseh allowing these tribes to dwell in their midst, as the writer said, in the midst of Israel to this day. Here we have a picture of discipleship that is confused and compromised. It doesn't have boundaries. It doesn't really have any clear understanding of regions. There is a lack of clarity that pervades the whole account, and an emphasis on incompleteness with those four mentions of half. And such discipleship, as I think, is discipleship that's not really tethered to the Bible at all. It's ignorant, it's muddled, it's inconsistent. It's characterized by lack of integrity, by subjection to human opinion. It will follow the tide of whatever happens to be popular at the moment. It will trail on the coattails of those things, preferring them to the gospel message. It's confused and compromised, and for that reason, it's ineffective. And you know, that kind of discipleship is not going to build God's church. So as we see those three types of discipleship, I think, pictured in these three tribal areas that I believe are deliberately represented to convey this impression to us. We've seen, to begin with, what is clear and courageous. The territory of Reuben surely embodies what would be a wonderful characterization of the true Christians, the real disciples, clear discipleship. Then we saw the tribe of Gad constituting what is formal and floppy, formal and lifeless. And lastly, we've seen the half-tribe Manasseh, what is confused and compromised. Definitely not an example to follow. Heavenly Father, please help us to continue understanding this. And tomorrow, please, would we really grasp the wonderful message that is so positive in this and would empower our discipleship as well as inform it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.